Good afternoon.
Today, Cabinet discussed the worrying spike in the number of people dying from synthetic cannabis. There have been 445 suspected synthetic cannabis-related deaths since June last year. Cabinet reviewed the actions that the agency are currently taking, and the Ministers of Health, Justice, and Police and Customs will now be seeking coordinated advice from their various agencies on how to best urgently reduce the size and the supply of this drug with the aim of turning this spike around and getting this dangerous drug out of our communities. We also signed off on a recruitment process for the Chief of the Staff of Army, Navy and Air Force, and this will be run by the State Services Commission. It's unusual to have the heads of each branch to be chosen, at least all at the same time or in the same year over the last decade. Given the recent appointment of a new Chief of Defence Forces, this represents something of a changing of the guard, so to speak, and a new era in our Defence Forces. By the end of the year, there will be an entirely new leadership across our Defence Forces to lead this government's new defence strategy and manoeuvre us forward to an increasingly complex geopolitical defence environment. This week, I'll attend Parliament's question time on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then on Wednesday evening, depart for Singapore to attend the ASEAN Regional Forum and the East Asia Summit Ministerial Meeting as Minister of Foreign Affairs. While in Singapore, I attend a number of formal bilateral meetings and formal discussions and informal discussions as well with counterparts. We are likely to discuss a wide range of Asia-Pacific security and prosperity topics, and I'll be stressing the importance of the rules-based international order in enhancing peace and prosperity in Asia-Pacific. I can also confirm that as a result of my travel to the ASEAN Forum, the Prime Minister will resume her duties at the time the plane takes off on midnight, Wednesday night. The Prime Minister will be based in Auckland this Thursday and Friday, as usual. She will travel to Wellington on Saturday with her partner and baby and set up her family in the Prime Minister's residence at Premier House. She'll be based out of Wellington for the following 2 weeks of the House's sitting period, undertaking the bulk of her duties locally with day travel. As such, today will be my last post-Cabinet press conference as Acting Prime Minister, and for that reason, a number of you have asked for my observations about this tenure. First, the coalition government has remained stable and fully functional in the last 6 weeks, and our poll information has the governing parties rising further in the polls. This demonstrates the successful operation of an MMP government and proves that we are a stable and constructive group in government, regardless of what some early naysayers may have rather unwisely said. Second, this government has continued to work in the interests of New Zealand, and in the last 6 weeks we have seen the families package and winter energy payments start, the purchase decision of Defence Force P8 maritime patrol planes made, the Reserve Bank Monetary Policy Bill tabled, the start of an inquiry into the appointment of the Police Deputy Commissioner, and the ongoing management of the industrial dispute with nurses. This is an impressive record of achievement for any government in a 6 week period, and highlights the breadth of issues we are dealing with and moving the country in the right direction on. On that final point regarding nurses, on behalf of Cabinet, can I welcome the effective implementation accord signed today between the NZ Nurses Organisation and our DHBs. It's an important step for DHBs to deliver on commitments about staffing and resources so that nurses, midwives and healthcare assistants can provide the care required in this country. It's also a further recognition from this government of the importance and professionalism of our nursing force around New Zealand. Any questions?
This urgent action on synthetic cannabis, could the government have acted sooner?
I don't think we can deny the fact that we've sought to address issues like this over a long period of time and not been nearly as successful as we'd like to have been. But that being the case, it's nice looking back now and blaming anyone. We've got to get on and with the greatest unction and urgency begin to provide some serious answers upon this issue.
In the past, the government's maintained that the review into mental health and addiction would cover it off and be enough. But are you suggesting the government now needs to go further?
No, I'm suggesting that we have to look at what we've been talking about in the past and reviewing in the past, and with a multiplicity of agencies set out to provide some serious solutions and as fast as possible.
Could that include elements of Sylvian Brown's private member's bill to have tougher enforcement for people who deal in synthetic cannabis?
Well, you know, it could if you wanted to be inclusive, but being inclusive at the long-term damage of a wise policy, where the police say that that will not work, then maybe we should look at the big picture rather than taking a party parochial position on these issues.
Could there be a review specifically in synthetic cannabis use in New Zealand?
Look, we've got a group of people and ministers working on this seriously urgently, as I said last week, that we've got a cabinet today and we will put in the serious yards to hopefully as fast as possible find tangible, meaningful policies that do work.
I was going to be answering questions on Thursday in the House.
Well, not Jacinda, because she's not usually on that Thursday. Not me. Sorry, you'll have to go without me on Thursday. I can't answer that question because I don't know what the full cabinet attendance list looks like.
Will it likely be Calvin Davis?
I just said I didn't know what the full cabinet attendance list looked like. So why would you hear a question that you know I can't answer?
How quickly will cabinet get any advice back on the synthetic cannabis issue?
I can't answer with exactitude that, but it'll be as fast as we possibly and credibly can.
Would you look at animal testing as part of this?
I can't answer that question at the moment either because we haven't got around to saying how we're going to do that. You've got to bear in mind that there are places where responsibility might fall, and it may be others who are on the market with these products who have to themselves provide a certificate of safety to the community.
Has this issue around synthetic cannabis made you rethink your stance on real cannabis?
Made me think
whether it should be perhaps legalized or access to other.
You haven't been listening for a long period of time. I have campaigned personally on putting this issue to the public of this country. And we're going to have a referendum on that issue before too long.
Do you think if...
I'm not being critical of you, you might have been overseas, but I've been saying that for decades.
But you personally...
Well, I don't think any of us should contaminate the public's free and open debate on this issue by stating our position and then having people line up on a critical issue like this on the basis of party politics. That would be a serious mistake.
Well, would you campaign on either side if that fact swayed you
to the point? No, I'm going to be campaigning to ensure the public gets all the facts so they can make up their mind. But I'd say again, it would not be wise if we turn this issue into a party positioning to debate without any regards to where we go in the future.
Will you be making any representations to the Israeli government over the arrest of trade unionist Mike Tree, who was on peace flotilla in Gaza?
We just got that information today, and we were in consultation with our people in Ankara as to what we can next best do.
Did Cabinet give me advice today on what might be behind the cause of this recent synthetic cannabis spike and deaths?
Well, we're getting some mixed information, of course, because we were told by experts that over the previous 5 years there had only been two. Yet we've got reports from media instances of reporting that there were more. But whatever it is, 40 to 45 is a serious spike.
What do you think might be some of the solutions?
Sorry?
With respect to your international meetings, who will you be meeting from the US and China?
Well, the foreign ministers, because it's a foreign ministers meeting at the East Asia Summit, but also the ASEAN meeting will have 32 countries there, five of whom special guests, Norway, Turkey, Switzerland, the G20 chair this year, Argentina, and one other that just temporarily has passed by mind, or Iran, it will also be there.
Police reported that around this time last year, they reported that 20 people may have died from synthetic drug use. Why is the government only realising this is a problem now?
No, it's not only realising. If you look back, there has been a lot of work on this in the past. And I think we have to be honest, we haven't come up with the kind of solutions which have seen a turnaround and a victory against the people who are peddling the stuff and the number of deaths that are involved.
This government seems to have failed in terms of a targeted response to synthetic drug use, though.
Look, we haven't had enough heard in the situation. I'm going over last year, and we haven't even been in government for 10 months. So I'm not trying to say that we as Zulu parliamentarians are all blameless. All I'm saying is we should be focusing on getting a solution rather than the politics.
Would you be open to tougher penalties for synthetic cannabis dealers?
Well, the Simeon Brown bill has that in it, but the reports I've seen from the police says that won't work. All I've got to do is ensure, first of all, that the users know what they're taking, that they're not taking these awful risks on the basis of product that's dangerous to them. So it has many aspects.
Do you think the focus needs to be on cutting off supply or an information campaign?
I think TV3's had enough questions. We've got to be balanced and fair here. You're asking a question back there.
Yeah, do you have any other thoughts on possible solutions to this synthetic cannabis?
Well, yes, I have, but I can't foreclose on a report and an inquiry or research that's going on now with great urgency by giving my views. I'd rather make those views known to the various multi-government agencies that are dealing with it.
With regards to this safe staffing accord with the nurses, as far as you're concerned, does this stop any chance of further strike?
That's the responsibility of the nurses to be gleaned by a vote that they're taking at this very time, so I can't say what the outcome will be other than to say we've done the best we possibly could in the circumstances, and I hope that they understand that.
But would you expect them to realise that and not strike again?
Well, again, I'm not going to help the process by interfering with it. So it's up to them. We have not been unmindful. They've had almost frozen for a decade has been addressed by us in our first budget. That was after only 6 months. So I hope that reasonableness will prevail.
What lessons do you think the teachers should take from the course of the nurses' industrial action and its resolution?
The lesson should be that we're in a partnership together, building a new compact between government and the social services of this country. That we can be enormously successful if everybody's responsible, but if we take the narrow point of view that we will somehow prevail upon a government thinking that we come from a position of weakness, that would be a terrible mistake. We are resolved to help every group fairly within the limit of the availability of money with a government that's fiscally prudent and careful.
Could the teachers conclude fairly that industrial action may be what enabled the nurses to get the government's and the DHB's attention and proceed likewise?
That would be a mistake.
John Howard over the weekend seemed to question the legitimacy of New Zealand's election outcomes, calling it unjust and unfair. What do you make of those comments?
Well, he used to be called Honest John. He had a departure from his character when he said that. And second, We don't really get very enthusiastic when people come over from overseas and start telling us how to run our country and how to run our democracy, which I might add has some very fine features to it, superior to that of Australia, with greater transparency to that of Australia, and make no sorts of comments, you know, begs the question, well, why are you blaming the Russians for the American campaign in 2016? If foreign interference is not a matter of importance. We're a sovereign nation, and to say that's unjust and unfair without being able to particularize and itemize that is rather a lazy, idle comment.
Mr. Peters, can you just clarify, did you link or compare Australia's involvement in interfering in New Zealand politics until now with alleged Russian interference in the US?
No, I'm saying everybody's dancing up and down about that, and yet someone who is a four-time Prime Minister from Australia is here criticising the makeup of this government without being able to itemise, particularise with any exactitude what on earth he's talking about. I mean, the reality is we can't do the maths. That's maybe why you're there.
Did you perhaps overstep when you spoke on the Australian flag last week? Was that not interfering in other governments?
No, look, very carefully. In 1954, they interfered with our flag. Get it? Ours, we had the flag in 2001, 2002, and 5 decades later, they adopt almost the same flag. Well, not make a big issue of it. All I'm saying is what's obvious. And it's obvious to a whole lot of Australians and New Zealanders and the rest of the world as well.
It's not just this flag issue, though, Mr. Peters. I mean, you say that you don't like it when people come here to criticise the New Zealand government, but you've been criticising the Australian government
The flag doesn't belong to the Australian government. It belongs to the Australian people.
I'm not talking
about we are mature enough as a population sometimes to rib each other, sometimes to tease each other, and it's part of our great relationship. But a bit of plain talk is what the Aussies are famous for. They like it.
So was the flag just a little bit of teasing?
Done?
So was what you were saying about the flag just a little bit of teasing?
No, it's candor.
On the subject of Australia, do you have a view on the implications for the 9 Fairfax merger in New Zealand? For the New Zealand year?
Well, I've got to be awfully careful, but I did hear Paul Keating's comment, and I was rather alarmed as to what it meant for New Zealand if that was to happen. Did you hear his comments?
I did.
Well, then, if I'm to blame Mr. Keating, we should be slightly worried.
So do you agree with Mr. Keating about Channel 9?
No, I'm just saying, see, this is a case of having respect for Australian politicians.
You respect that Keating, but not Howard.
No, no. I don't want to respect John Howard. I know John Howard. I've been to rugby with him and his wife. But all I'm saying is, this is 2018, and somehow, I mean, it's clear to me, with John Howard and John Key, that the National Party's favourite film is Back to the Future.
A couple of weeks ago, you said that you were going to talk to Aaron Wonga from Nauru about running a successful Pacific Islands Forum and what the country might need to do for that. Have you had that conversation?
Not yet.
Speaking of dealing with numbers and exactitude, tell us more about this poll you were talking about in the beginning of your final
test. Well, we all have inside polls, and I've told you what your poll was. And a few others and over the years have demonstrated them, because months out from the election, you've sometimes been out by 4 or 5 times. I'm just saying we like poll information somewhat more accurate than that, that bridges down and finds out what people will do when they go to the polling booth, and it's been enormously encouraging. The spread between the governing parties and the alternative is much higher than we really thought it could be.
Are these the UNR polls you're talking about?
I'm not telling you where these polls are. If you want to pay for them, then I'll tell you what they say. But if you don't want to pay for them, you want us to believe yours, which are a work fiction, and some of those pollsters should be up on the fair trading legislation.
If you want us to talk about you talking about?
Pardon?
Is the Labour Party above the National Party?
Most definitely.
Why do you trust those polls and no one else's?
Well, if somebody's got a poll science degree and has been in politics a long time, I know when poll is being done properly and when it's not.
So what are the numbers?
To report you talking about these polls if you might tell us exactly what the polls show.
Well, we'll see in time whether what you're saying now is right. Where some people out there that you're actually commenting on, saying that, for example, Labour Party denied below 29%, whether that sort of rubbish would get the currency of light in your meeting.
So you don't want us to report with exactitude on this issue, but you do on the other?
No, I didn't make that point. I just said that we were very encouraged, after 6 weeks of abiding stability, that the public is still going with us in greater numbers than before.
You mentioned at the beginning of your remarks that when you were reflecting on your time as acting Prime Minister, I was wondering, have you got one moment or one area in particular that kind of stands out above the rest of your 6 weeks in power?
Well, the downside, if you ask me about the hits and misses, the misses were was when I had to read so much comment from journalists about the disaster that was about to befall them. And I suppose the hits are the things, for example, like the nurses' strike, which I believe we've made a lot of progress on, and all the other items which we've announced, and not the least of which, of course, is the first tranche of the Reserve Bank legislation changes, which are coming, which is a serious and huge issue for this country.
Spears, you've never discussed your succession plan publicly. At what point does that issue have to come light in terms of this vote?
Well, I don't know why on earth that would be an issue today. Usually we decide succession plans as you come towards an election, not as you're leaving one. Unless, of course, you've lost.
Will change next year, perhaps?
I've never thought about it.
Do you think that whiskey should be sipped or swilled?
Well, why would you ask that question?
Because you are known as a whiskey connoisseur of sorts. Someone has suggested that you are a whiskey swiller.
Who was that?
Peter Goodfellow.
Yes, and I've made a challenge to him last night. Some of you may have seen it on the Q&A. Have you asked him whether he can repeat his comments again? Because I wish one of you had the courage to do that, and we'll see whether he does or not.
Why do you need
but there's one thing that's not going to happen here is somebody like him thinks going to have a free hit at Winston Peters.
Do you think his comments were defamatory?
No, I'm not talking about defamatory.
Why do you want him to repeat them?
No, because he did it the first time at a conference, probably emboldened by the fact that he's still there, and it's astonishing to me that he's still the president of the National Party. And if he opens his mouth, I'll tell you why. Any other questions?
You're a former National MP. What do you think he should be rolled as president?
No, no. If he wants to repeat his comment one more time, I'll tell you why he shouldn't be the president of the National Party. All right?
What's the offence about the comments he made?
Well, I suggest you go and look at them very carefully again.
Are you threatening Peter Goodfellow?